everybody. Hello. Are you out there? It's Come Lose It. It's me, Matt Duncan, your host. It's episode 99. Wayne Gretzky, what's up, bro? 99. Welcome to the last of the double-digit episode count of Come Lose It, a podcast that started as Podcast Fat Boy, and over a year and a half ago now almost, it has switched to Come Lose It with Matt Duncan. The journey continues, and we are about to hit them triple dig, folks, those triple dig. That's where this podcast will die. I don't think I'll ever get to 1,000. You got to hit 1,000 podcast world, guys, I'll tell you, you got to have at least 2 a week. 2 a week going out, that's like 8 a month you got to be doing to hit that 1,000 within about 10 years, 12 years. Like, so that's a lot of work. That's a lot of time. That's not how we operate here. This will always be a podcast that even if I'm fucking 80, might only get to around 700 or 800 episodes. Who knows? Who knows? I might just decide to fucking stop one day. But the journey goes on. The journey goes on right now. We're not canceling anything. It's been almost 10 years of doing this podcast. Recorded my first ever episode 10 years this October. And, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to try and get him on. I don't even know if he listens to this podcast anymore, if he ever did, if he takes the time. But Adam Joel Kennedy, you remember him from Supernatural Season 4. He played a haunted nerd. Yeah, he was possessed. He was possessed in the Supernatural episode. And he was actually my first ever guest. Now, I didn't release it till episode 2, if you want to go back to that one. It's called Growing Up Skinny. But we did record that in October of 2013 when I was in Winnipeg. So this podcast technically started on the road, which, you know, I don't get to do very much. I do get excited when I can take this sucker on the road. I can do it at cottages or in other provinces or countries. I'll do it. I'll do it as bare bones as I fucking have to. So that was the first one. I got really sick, I remember, while I was there with a terrible cold, and we talked a lot about that. But hopefully, I'm going to see if he is willing to come on to do the episode 100. Adam, if you're listening, please get in touch. If not, I'll text you, and we'll try to get you on. We'll just have a little chat. We'll have a little catch-up. We'll see where your health journey's gone in the last 10 years in these last 100 episodes of the podcast. But, you know, here we are. I've got lots to talk about. The last one that I did at the cottage, you know, it's very difficult. I don't like doing this podcast around people. I feel a lot better. Currently, right now, my wife is on the highway coming home from her work, and I'm trying to get this in before she gets here because I'm always a little bit freer when I don't have people around listening in the other room. You know, it's something, it does give me a little bit of a block. I'm easily distracted. Now, I do have ADD. I have undiagnosed ADD and unmedicated ADD, but I definitely got it. I've been the human personification of a sweetener since I was a young boy. Let's just say that. And it's still there. I struggle with it. I'm kind of the control. My wife has it. She's highly medicated for it. And she's the smart one. I'm the dumber one that I choose to suffer. I think that's an Irish thing. I know you see the people like parents in my life, you would have to hold a knife to their throat for them to go to any kind of therapy. Desperately, do they all need it? Yes. Desperately. Would their relationships be better? Of course. But man, will they... Getting them to do therapy, it seems like it's on the millennials, really, to do all of that work. I know some do it, and congrats to you, hats off to you, I'm proud of you, but a lot of them fucking don't, and a lot of them in my life do not. Anyway, moving on, babe, we talked about it last time. The country's still on fucking fire here in Canada. We just had the worst fucking day here in the hometown stopover of Newmarket. You know, I don't know how much longer we're going to be in the hometown stopover. We're starting to talk about wanting to move, possibly buying a house somewhere 4 hours away from Toronto. I don't know. It's not going to be close for the houses that we can afford. It's going to have to be somewhere a little bit further away type of deal if we go down that route. But it may not be imminent, but we never know. We're renters right now. We have a landlord that we never see, and he's a real estate guy, so we don't know. It could be 60 days from whenever that he's going to want to decide to sell this place and cash in for, I don't know, whoever fake name is also on the deed with him. Don't know. I've never had a landlord like this where you never see, hey, I ain't complaining. There's nothing worse than a landlord that's fucking around all the time. That was my last landlord. She lived above me. So it is burning. The wildfires are bad. The air quality has been the worst in the world. The worst in the world yesterday, air quality in Toronto, which was also here in Newmarket. We're only 45 minutes north of Toronto. So we did, I've been watching the index, and we were up at an 11, okay, on the scale that's pretty much as high as the Geiger meter goes. You know, when you're going into the nuclear reactor that's leaking radiation, we're off the scale. The alarms are sounding. Don't go outside. So what I did before it got really bad yesterday, I just like, you know, we have a furnace. We have central air here. We've had a type of filter in that is, okay, if you're in the furnace game, you know what I'm talking about. We had a 1,000 rating one, which really is a MERV 11, which is good for allergies. It does a lot of the outside air that's coming in, like smog and stuff like that, exhaust from cars. That stuff does get filtered in a filter like that. But what doesn't get filtered so much is PM2.5. Now, that is the particle that is coming from the wildfires, PM2.5. It's particulate matter that is like 2.5 microns or smaller. I believe that's what it stands for. And so I went and I just went to Home Depot and I got a 1500 rating one, which is a MERV 12, and a MERV 12 will block the PM2.5. So it's a bit of a finicky situation with furnaces, because if you get one that's a little too thick of a filter, if you go up to a MERV 13 or higher, then it's going to start to fuck with your furnace. It's not getting enough air. It's not pushing out enough. It fucks shit up. We had got some from Costco years ago that was like a 2200 or something like that. Way too thick. Had issues. And sure enough, as we've been told by many of HVAC person, do not really go much higher than a 1500, especially if you have an older system. So we got the 1500 in right now for the summer. We'll go back to the thousands for, you know, the rest of the year when there's no fucking fires burning all around us, blowing smoke from fucking Quebecois. So hopefully get some rain. Hopefully, God bless the firefighters that are out there trying to extinguish the country. We're in the record. We've had a record already of wildfires burned across the country. It's going to be insane. I'd say by the end of the summer, it's going to be hopefully it's an anomaly. It won't happen again for a long time. But you know how climate change is going. It's fucked. We're all fucked. If you think that it's going to be you normal going to the park every day in the next 20 years, just having a beer and chilling out, you got something coming, man. You're just not paying attention enough to what's really going on. It doesn't matter how many warnings we get. We'll have 1,000, 2,000, 2 million more warnings. We're not going to fucking do anything about it. We're not going to come together as a people. We've proven that with the pandemic, as I've said many times before. Now, there is a little bit of hope in Toronto as they've just gone through their mayor election, by-election. Of course, Mr. John Tory stepped down. He had an affair with one of his fucking staffers. And finally, for the first time since David Miller was elected in his second term, I think around 2006 or 2007, they've got like a progressive NDP mayor in Toronto, which is wild. It's been a long time. We've had I don't talk about it, you know, I'm not a part of the city anymore, but I lived through the conservative years. I did get a little bit of the David Miller action when I first moved to the city when I was 18 years old. And, you know, he ended up leaving the NDP somewhere through his term and became an independent, but he wasn't a very environmental type of mayor. And I don't know if he got a ton of shit done, but at least now Olivia Chow has some real power, because Doug Ford has given that to the Toronto mayor with John Tory, where he could have had more stuff passed with less people voting for it. So a lot of power. She says she's not going to use it. Olivia, listen to me, girl. You got to use it. You're going to fucking have to use it, because you're going to get voted down on a ton of shit that won't pass. So you're going to have to strong arm it a little bit to get a little bit of progress going in that city, because Toronto is caving in on itself. It's a nightmare. Every time I go to fucking Toronto, it's a fucking nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare. And this is what's fucking pissing me off right now about my computer. You know, the screensaver turns on when I have it plugged into a monitor, and now I can't fucking turn it off. Fucking give me a sec here.
Fucking piece of brand new. What the fuck is going on? Oh my God. Gotta fucking
open the lid. What the fuck is this? Pay all this money for a new computer. What the fuck is going on? That's pissing me off. I don't like that at all. God damn it. Fucking Olivia Chow, good luck. I voted for you the first time. You didn't win. And there's a lot of fucking clowns out in this one. That probably helped her get votes because there's just so many fucking clowns. Pour one out for Frank D'Angelo, the man who ran. You know Frank D'Angelo. He only got 343 votes. 343 people voted for Frank D'Angelo to be the next mayor of Toronto. Wow, that's really bad. That's pretty much, I don't know, 150 people outside those that you know, your family, the people in your campaign. Insane that he ran. He's such a contentious figure in the city. My question is, if Barry Sherman was still alive, if he was still backing you, Frank, if he was still giving you all that cheddar for your movies and your juice and everything else, he would have put money into that campaign. He would have put his vote into you. Now, I know the Sherman kids, they didn't give you a single one of those 343. They didn't give you one of those fucking votes. Definitely not. But would you have done a little bit better? Would you have hit 1,000? Would you have hit 8,000 like that fucking crazy fucking anti-vaxxer Chris Skye? I cannot believe he got 8,000 votes and he is saying that there's fraud. He's doing the whole fraud thing and, oh yeah, there's people voting twice and they this and that. His big fucking dumb veneers that he looks like he got at a discount. Look like fucking dentures that are hanging out of his mouth. He looks like the stupidest fucking clown ever, and he had 8,000 votes. Still only 1%. He was nowhere close to winning this thing, but that dude should not have broke 1,000, right? There's 8,000 people out there that are like, yeah, that's how fucked up some of the people are in this city. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't make a little comment about the Titan sub that sank. The memes on Instagram have been unbelievable, the amount of jokes going about these people that died, that exploded in this tuna can that went down to the Titanic. Looks like that fucking window caved in, saw some of the wreckage that they brought up, saw the dome with the little porthole thing, and didn't look like there was glass in it. So something's telling me that that fucking glass shattered and it just fucking imploded right through there. I'm thinking that was the culprit there. Very dumb. You got to feel, I don't wish death. I don't wish that kind of death on anyone, but you're paying $250,000 for dumb shit like that. You should know better. But I think at least one of those people on there, they think it's cool probably that that's the way they went. They went down and the fucking right by the Titanic killed them. The fucking Titanic took some more lives. It's been a while, but it's happened. And I'm not talking about people slitting their wrists because, you know, fucking Leo went down into the waters in the movies. That probably caused a few deaths. No one's talking about that at all. But I'm sure there were some there. We need to run a census. We need to see who fucking ended it because Leo didn't make it onto that fucking door. Sue Johansson died today. She's 93. I can't believe she's the same age as my grandmother. God damn, Sue, you are fucking old as shit. I saw Sue Johansson. She was the host of the Sunday Night Sex Show. I grew up watching it on Sunday nights. I went down there. I learned a thing or two. Let's say that. I think we all learned a thing or two from Sue Johansson. She died in a rest home. She was 93 years old. That's a ripe old age to go. It's a good time to go, in my opinion. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that can do cunnilingus well because of her. And I got to meet her about 20 years ago when I was at college. She came, it was just before her show went off the air, and she was, you know, she would go into colleges and talk about sexual health. It was cool. You know, she was our Dr. Ruth. She was Canada's Dr. Ruth. She had a great career. And I think she was pretty important. Get her on the fucking Canadian Walk of Fame, folks. And it's not her birthday. It's not her fucking birthday, but it's others. A few. Okay, so who do we got today? Lily Rabe. Lily Rabe, you know, she's like that American Horror Story gal. I think she's 41 today. 41, early millennial. One of them early millennials probably considers herself a zennial. I kind of do as well. It's a lot of the Gen X people. They talk like their experiences are my experiences. So, you know, we're a little mixed in there. 75 to 84, I would say. Zennial time, you know. You don't really know. Who else we got here? We got the big Gary Busey. Gary Busey's still alive, folks. He's 79 years old today. He's, like, has he taken a shotgun to his face once or twice in his life? He looks fucked. He looks like he's done a lot of speedball action in his life, which goes to show you, you know, for someone who does cocaine and probably has as much in his life, you can survive it. You can live with it. So God bless him. Who else we got? Slim Pickens. You know, Slim Pickens, he died a long time ago. Died before I was born. Slim Pickens, he would have been well over 100 now. And he was in the Doctor Strange Love? Doctor Strange Love, yeah. He wrote that fucking bomb, baby. He wrote that fucking bomb. Robert Evans, the most tan man in the world, too. He died a few years ago. God bless him. Richard Lewis, 76. 76 years old. It's funny, without Curb Your Enthusiasm, would we really have thought of him since Robin Hood, Men in Tights? I don't think I've ever seen him in anything else. Since Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and Curb Your Enthusiasm, stand up. He's been sober for 30 years, folks. Cheer him on. He's going through some tough times right now. I think he's got Parkinson's. He's got the shakes. He's got the shakes, but he's still dancing. He's 76. Colin Jost is 41. The Lizard Man. He looks like a bit of a Super Mario lizard from the movie. You know, he's got a strange look, and he knows. He has said he has a very punchable face. He's 41. He's married to Scarlett Johansson. He's laughing, folks. He doesn't give a fuck what you think he looks like. Forget it. Who else we got? Boy, it's a bit of a... that's pretty much it. It's not a, you know, June 29th, not a day you want to be born on if you want to be famous too much, you know. It was okay. I give it a D plus.
Fitness update.
Okay, guys, so let's talk a little bit about what I went through in the last couple of weeks. After we left the cottage, the wife's cottage, we went and saw a friend that was from out of town, from Germany. Thanks to my German listeners. I don't know if it's them or if it's someone else. We got some German listeners on the pod. They were in town, so we went to the beach in Toronto, which is, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey to get to the fucking beach if you're bringing stuff and everything. It's a bit of a pilgrimage to get there. You got to find the right place where you want to sit. It was a lovely day. But see, here's something I want everyone that's listening. I don't care where you live. I don't care what the climate is. I don't care what if you're in Italy and the fucking the processed meat is sublime and different than what you get at a grocery store here. Do not bring beach meats ever to the beach. Don't bring beach meats. Okay, don't bring any loose meats. I don't care if it's in a Yeti cooler. That shit's going to turn like an iguana in the sun. And let's just say a friend brought some beach meats, and I hadn't eaten anything really that day. I was getting hungry. So I had some of the beach meats. I was talking. I was having some drinks. And one of these beach meats fucking turned on me. And within 5 or 6 hours, I just barely got off the island, went to a weird basketball-themed restaurant at the edge of the island, the ferry, and we had sat down and had a drink, and I started to get real woozy and tired, and then I had to throw up in public. I don't know if it's been a long time. I think it's been 17, 18 years since I've thrown up in public, and I had to do it in a bush, tried to do it as quiet as I could, and then go back to my friend's place because we were too drunk to drive home and just vomited my brains out for the next 8 hours and then came home with no energy, the worst sleep of my life, and then the diarrhea started. And let me tell you, folks, it came, went away, and then it came back in a way that was like, it wasn't even like I felt sick. It just felt like I was a robot full of water and it just kept filling up and I just had to keep spraying it out. It was the most fucked up thing. It was so frustrating. I got no sleep about a week ago Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday night. And had to call telehealth. Had to call my doctor. I was starting to get worried. It was like, what the fuck did I eat? What did I fucking put in my body, right? So Talked to telehealth. Seemed like everything was okay. They were just like, yeah, you're going through it. My doctor also said, yeah, you're still in that timeline of food poisoning where you're just not going to feel very well. But as soon as it was like finally done, I took an Imodium and I was fine. It never came back. And, you know, it slowly everything started to get working again properly. I lost a ton of weight. I feel like it's still kind of up and down all over the place right now. It's just crazy. Hey, I'm not complaining. You know, I'm kind of down to the fasting weight that I was getting to. I was starting to make real progress of that. Still trying to get back with the fasting. So because of the food poisoning, because of just feeling exhausted by life, I haven't been working out very much. I haven't been doing much at all. So I'm just kind of trying to, you know, I've been on to the BioSteel. I don't know if you know about BioSteel. It's what all the athletes drink now. They don't drink Gatorade anymore on the bench. They drink BioSteel, and I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I love the BioSteel. It's with stevia. Now, I know we've talked before. We're going to talk a little bit more in the health news about sweeteners and what's going on in that world with aspartame, but the cold difference between stevia and aspartame. Aspartame is synthetic. Stevia is a plant. So I'm going to choose the one that is got to be healthier. I don't know if it's, I think aspartame definitely has a lot of issues. I think it's still up for debate. I don't think it's, you know, like even when they're saying it's carcinogenic, we're going to get there. We're going to talk about it, the carcinogenic properties of it and how they can't fully say. They're just like, yeah, it's probably carcinogenic, but they can't fully say. So we're still in that weird zone where you should just try to limit it, try not to have too much of it. But the fucking BioSteel and the stevia, everything tastes, the thing with stevia is it's kind of got a weird bitter sweet taste to it. You have to get kind of used to it. And all the flavors, they don't even try. They're like, what does this really taste like? So it's like everything is like the taste of some kind of a freezy or a popsicle. You know, it's not you're not going to get anything that really resembles a true sugary type of flavor. And I think that's great. Yeah, give me a fucking, you know, those popsicles that are a red, white, and blue flavor. It's fucking delicious. It's got lots of electrolytes in it. It's only 10 calories per one of these cartons. The only thing about them is they're very fucking expensive, man. So you got to go to Costco. You got to get yourself a case of them, 24 of them for like $35. It's probably the best deal you're going to get unless you get the loose powder and fucking mix that in. So that's kind of where I'm at. I want to get back on the bike or something today. I just have to start working on it. My brain is running out of steam, baby. But yeah, beach meats, get the fuck away from me. Pour one out for the fucking, you know, maybe we should play the fucking beach meats song to say goodbye, you know, because I'm done. I'm not going to have the fucking beach meats any fucking more. So, you know, let's play it out. Let's say goodbye to the beach meats because this is the official fucking beach meat song. Am I wrong, people? Enjoy. Hit it. Just picture all those beach meats falling from the sky, getting sliced out of the tube at the fucking plant. I woke up this morning, the beach meat king. R.I.P. It's been 10 years. Okay. All right. Cut it. Okay. We're not going to listen to the whole fucking Sopranos theme song. But we are going to say goodbye to beach meats. No more fucking beach meats.
Health news.
News that is health related.
Okay. There's a couple of things that I found interesting in the old health news. We've got an article on obesity and what it does to the brain. Okay, now just let's hear this doctor talk a little bit about it with the CTV News gal.
Now, we've been told how being overweight can affect our bodies, but what can it do to our brains?
So when we're overweight, especially the fat that is in the gut, in the visceral adipose tissue, it secretes compounds, including some we call cytokines and other hormones that damage the brain in the long run. They can cause low-level inflammation, hypertension, high cholesterol, and diabetes, and all of these damage the brain in the long run. And actually, obesity is the main reversible cause of dementia and Alzheimer's disease at present. So it's a major risk factor for later brain disease.
So yeah, obesity may damage the brain's ability to recognize the sensation of fullness and being satisfied after eating fats and sugars. Further, those brain changes may last even after people considered medically obese lose a significant amount of weight, possibly explaining why many people often regain the pounds they lose. There was no sign of reversibility. The brains of people with obesity continued to lack the chemical responses that tell the body, okay, you ate enough, said Dr. Caroline Apovian, a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. As defined medically, people with obesity have a body mass index over 30. Normal BMI is between 18 and 25. BMI is a bit of an archaic system to judge the body and the state of its health. We've talked about that before, but it does very easily capture if you are over 30. Yes, you're definitely obese. God, I fucking hope I'm not. The study captures why obesity is a disease. There are actual changes to the brain. Study is very rigorous. It was comprehensive. The way they've designed their study gives more confidence in the findings, adding to prior research. They also found obesity causes some changes in the brain. So yeah, it's when you have obesity, there's all these things that are attacking your brain. It's apparently causing a bit of a type of damage, of brain damage, where yeah, you can't comprehend the feeling of being full. Like, you're always going to have to be fighting it. And I think the main thing that you can read about this article, you know, I always post the health news articles for you to click and read. But the big thing I would say is it should give a little bit more empathy for people that are going through obesity and trying to lose weight, because this is another hurdle for them, right? It's not as easy. People think that it's a willpower thing and you know, why can't you just change your diet? Why can't you exercise more? And, you know, this is another thing that could be going on with obesity and people trying to lose weight. And then, you know, mix that in with genetic preconditions and stuff like that. Like, it's just not as easy. It's not as fucking easy. So hopefully this will increase some empathy for the struggle instead of it just being like a Joe Rogan type of attack of like, why don't you just lose weight? Like, it's not that hard. Well, it is, Joe. It is, Joe. Moving on to the next one, the WHO is cancer. They're ready to slap a label on aspartame sweetener as a possible carcinogen. That means when you get your Diet Coke or your gum or your Snapple or whatever the fuck, it might have a logo on it, just like your cigarette, saying this may cause cancer. And there, you know, it's up and down. It's up and down, you know, the research in this. Aspartame, used in products like diet sodas, chewing gum, will be listed as possibly carcinogenic to humans for the first time by the IARC, the International Agency for Research on Cancer. And it does not take into account how much of a product a person can safely consume. So the advice for individuals and like how much you can actually drink before it's harmful is still kind of, it doesn't look like they're going to really explain that. But there was another wing of the WHO called like the JECFA, which is they're kind of like the board of for additives and shit like that. They kind of put labels on additives if they're safe or not. And since 1981, JECFA has said that aspartame is safe to consume within acceptable daily limits. For example, if you weighed 130 pounds, you would have to drink between 12 and 36 cans of diet soda, depending on the amount of aspartame in the beverage, every day to be at risk. Now, that's a lot of diet soda. I think if you're drinking 5 to 6, that's not good. If you're having a can of Diet Coke once a day, that's fine. Now, the problem for me is that I'm someone who always likes to mix it with their booze, rye and Diet Coke. I just don't know why I love it. Haven't had it in weeks. I'm trying to stop it, And I've kind of been sick of it for a long time. And, you know, with the switch over to more stevia type stuff, I'm not going to mix it with booze, obviously. I think that'll be just too gross, but I am trying to get aspartame a little bit more out of my body, but I got to have a Diet Coke every once in a while. There's nothing more fucking refreshing than a fucking Diet Coke. You know, aspartame, it's been studied for years. There's been studies in France that show like it might have a slightly higher cancer risk. It showed that like in there was a study in Italy in the early 2000s. I think this is the one that has really been referred to the most. And it said that some cancers in mice and rats were linked to aspartame. However, the first study couldn't prove that aspartame caused the increased cancer risk. And questions have been raised about the mythology of the second study included by the EFSA, which assessed it. So there's a lot of people that are, you know, on the other side, they think that the research is faulty. The studies are a bit inconclusive on it, and it's going to make people want to drink more sugar. They're going to think sugar is better than these, you know, non-sugar sweeteners for weight control. So there is a real battle against it. And, you know, as with anything, as we, if it's a Diet Coke or you're having a Subway sub and trying to lose some weight, it's all about moderation, just not eating as much. And like that McDiet we talked about last time, sometimes you just need to eat half. Okay, let's finish this up with a few other shitsies. Because, you know, we've gone a little long, but it's episode 99. It's the last of the double ditch. What do you want me to do? It's the fucking last of the double ditch. So we got to go. We got to finish June. We're in summer now. The world is still burning in Canada, but you know, hopefully we've got some nicer days ahead of us. I do need to get to work. God damn it, finally. It was very difficult to watch, but I watched The Days on Netflix, and it is a Japanese show, 8 episodes about the Fukushima nuclear disaster in 2011. It's a fucking dense, heavy watch. It's just like, it feels like you are in that control center trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. What a fucking nightmare that is, and continues to this day. The media forgets about it, doesn't really cover it, but they still are trying to fucking clean that place up, and they can't get close to the melted fuel because it's just too radioactive for robots and humans alike. So they've got a real problem there, and they still don't know what to do. Japan's really been through it. They've been through it. And, you know, I don't think the show was that great. It wasn't that exciting, but it does really show you. It makes you feel like you're down in that fucking control room trying to figure out how to keep these 4 reactors from melting down. And very scary just to see what, you know, I get why nuclear power is the future and why it, and because we're so fucking stupid everywhere else with the environment, we pollute in every other way and we can't stop. So if we're, you know, burning coal and all that stuff is just too bad, we have to take the risk. We've got to put nuclear power stations in tsunami zones and because of our, you know, insatiable need for power. We have to take the risk. And this might not be over, the Fukushima. You should check it out. It's not great. And I'll always be on the fence with it. And there's no way you can convince me otherwise. What's up with Madonna? She had a fever for a goddamn month. Now she's in the fucking ICU. Some bacterial infection. What have you been eating, girl? You've been getting those beach meats? Has Madonna been going into the beach meats? She's been wild. She's getting the plastic surgery. Everyone's coming after her for, you know, starting to look a little bit like a toddler or something again. And, you know, her ass has got implants. She's all fucked up. She's having a hard time becoming a senior citizen, okay? And well, we get it. The material girl. But the material girl, you can't go out to the beach and just fucking eat a bunch of fucking salami in the sun. When it goes gray, stay away. When it goes gray, stay away. So that's going on with Madonna's. Don't really don't really care. But, you know, I don't think we're ready to live in a world without Madonna. You know, I think we still got to hear about her and her escapades and whatnot. I'm not ready. Let her get to the 70s. You know what I mean? Last thing I'll talk about, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have lost their Spotify deal. I got to talk about this because clearly I'm a podcaster. They got paid $20 million for 12 episodes that they did on Spotify. Apparently, there's a lot of, they've been shit-talked by executives at Spotify saying that they're grifters, that they didn't really interview anyone, that they just kind of took clips and, you know, they had Meghan Markle create a script to it type of thing. And some are saying that's ridiculous, but at the end of the day, people hate these people. They really do. They do not like them. They don't like the royal family, but for some reason they hate these two even more. And it is a bit annoying. 20 million for 12 episodes. That's like apparently 12 hours of work they put into it or something. That's a little, that's how dumb fucking money is in this world. You know, like people are farting in jars. They're the people that are making money on the internet with doing the dumbest shit. It's just like, we're at the end. We're at the motherfucking end, babe. Okay, that's it, folks. 99, Gretzky in the bag. Episode 100, we'll see you in July with a guest. I gotta get a guest. Thanks for listening. All these episodes, let's have a good time. Get an N95 mask if the air quality's bad if you're in Canada. Don't be a fucking idiot. Wear a fucking mask.